There's somebody in the chat. Terry, can you watch the chat? Hey, Sadie, how are you? All right. That was my first recording. Wait a second. Whoops. You know, after being with the Shift Network, who they did all of the technological things. Hold on. There. Here we are. We're back here. All right. Welcome to the Windwork Basics. I'm really, really excited that we're all here. And even though that there's this, our worlds have been shifted up and changed around for this time period, how awesome that we can get a large group. And I think a large group, you know, I think there's like 40 people in this class, is a really nice size group for us to really re-navigate our worlds. And so one of the things that this is Windwork Basics, and some of you already did the Become a Wind Alchemist class and the Wind Mastery class. And it's kind of funny how we get back around and now we're going to do the Windwork Basics. And I guess it will start to make sense to you. And hopefully that's the good of all of this, is that going back to the beginning is really helpful. And trust me, it doesn't mean we're not going to go deep, because we always do go deep and it always gets more revealed. And I suspect I believe we've entered into the gap, and I've talked about it a little bit, but what this means for me is that at the end of one epoch, or at the end of any day, at the end of everything, there's a space. And when you're talking about the end of a day, which went on for 24 hours, the gap is almost unnoticeable. And then if you notice, when you've completed a big cycle, such as a career, the gap could be something like 2 or 3 years, because, you know, you just worked 40, 50 years at something. So the gap expands. So if we're at the end of a 12,500 year approximately gap, I think we're in for a gap that's going to last a couple hundred years. And we're just entering into it. And so for me, there's this really wobbly time, and that's what the Windwork Basics is going to help us with, is how do we navigate this? And so we're getting a really good example of it here with this coronavirus, which is thrown us into this wobble, because I don't know if you're like me, but this was going to be the year that I was going to get out and be social. And so here I am, lo and behold, socially distancing from everyone, and pretty much it's me and Sami over here, and even my best friends won't come over and eat dinner. And so it's kind of like my plans got dumped on their heads. I bet you a lot of your plans got dumped on your head. So if you want to agree to that or not, you can put a little high five over in the chat. But before we really get started, and I'm going to open up sacred space here for us for this time period, is that I just wanted to talk a little bit about Zoom and a little bit about the housekeeping of Zoom. Just so you know, I will send out a Zoom link. This will be the same Zoom link, but I'm really fastidious, so I'll send you the same Zoom link over and over again. But I did not want to get you confused, so I didn't send you the Zoom link for the integration session on Monday, which I think I might keep as a separate Zoom link. So there'll be the Thursday Zoom link and then the Monday Zoom link. All of this will be recorded, and then you'll get the replay. You know, right now with everything going on, Zoom can be a little bit slow, but I seem to have pretty good Zoom luck lately. Once it gets recorded, we'll send it to you. Hopefully most of you have been able to get into the Practical Shaman homepage for this class, which is locked down so that you have access to it and other people don't. But you also, what you can look around is go into the Community University Library, because you have access to lots of other information that I've been, I was on the forefront of recording and webinars and things like that. So I slowly keep adding things to it that I've been recording now for 10 years. So there's like the Insider's Guide to Peru. There's some of the other WIN courses. There's a a business course. There's all kinds of different things in there. So for the next 3 months, you have access to that as well. So I would get in there and look around when you can. And then I think you might even have access to last year's version of this. This is going to be pretty close to the Windwork basics that I did before, although we're in a different time. So we're going to be doing a little bit of different work. I wanted to quick kind of go over the outline so you kind of have a sense of where we're going. So today we're really getting acquainted with Windwork. And for a lot of you who have done the more advanced work, we're going to go backwards and you're going to learn some of the terms all over again. And we're going to look at, you know, how do I work with the wind spirits? When should I call upon a wind spirit for guidance? And then to get yourself really anchored, and we're going to talk about anchoring because in the spring equinox, and I sent you that, and I just touched upon it briefly, but during this work, we're going to anchor in a new way. Because one of the things that I learned when I was out on a wind walk one night was that being anchored to the magnetic field is really a good thing. But right now, as this Pachacuti that they call it in Peru, or the end of the cycle that they called it in the Mayan, and all of this time, and if things really flip over, which I think they're looking like they are, that we need other anchors. And so think of the anchoring on a boat. They have the compass is actually inside another apparatus piece, and it can move and float with the changes. So not only is it important that we're anchored every day to the earth, but the exercise that was with the spring equinox that you got written instructions for, which I didn't share for the spring equinox, is that to get another anchor point that you can actually get a second anchor that you can align to, which is going to then help you as we do this work to align to yet a third anchor point, so that when things start to get really cattywanked, and if you might think they already are, when they get more cattywanked, your compass, your awakening compass, which we're going to define here, doesn't get off balance, and you're able to know where you're going. Now, I would hope that everyone has the book Winds of Spirit, and yet most of the work that we're going to do in here came after the book was published and after I started teaching the work, but it's really a great resource guide to meet all the different wind spirits we're going to be working with, and a lot of the work that we do in these processes are part of the next book that I'm currently working on. And let's see. So then in week two, we're going to go into our inner compass coordinates. Week three, we're going to really learn to start to call upon the wind spirits. And then in week four, we're going to learn how to get from point A to point B. And it might now be a 3D 8.8, point A to point B. You never know, because the wind has this, I'm just the wind guide. And really, truthfully, there's four assistants with this class. And what we'd like to do is really support people, because the one magical thing about this process is that once you invite the winds into your life, we do not know what's going to happen. Like somebody asked me, do you do soul retrieval work? I said, no, but lots of people have had spontaneous soul retrievals in this work. Other people have advanced shamans in this work say that this is probably some of the most deep work they've ever had. Not the deepest work they've ever had, but this work takes you even deeper into your shamanic practices. But you don't have to have all of that experience, because last year, somebody who just, you know, did a one and done with the work, you know, her whole life changed and she was stuck, couldn't make two nickels rub together for 10 cents. And now all of a sudden now her work took off in a different way. Other people have come and done the same thing. Some of you have been here for a few times now, and you see that it still keeps working you, and it's not work that you do one and done. These are tools for living well in this changing of the epoch, changing of the guard. What we're going to do first is, and this is something we learned afterwards, oh, that's kind of funny, is is the wind breath exercise. For a long time, I thought, okay, this is how we do this. And lo and behold, there was, the wind showed me that we weren't really doing the wind breath as fully as we could do it. So we've started to practice it more. If you have your wind whistle, you could take it out. If you don't have a wind whistle, you can order one and you get $15 off of it. And I will be shipping tomorrow. So if you need yours. And the wind whistle works like this. Can you see me? Here, let me just take it off the slides for a second. So you hold it in your hands, and this regulates the breath of it. So, you know, sometimes people just blow really hard into it, and sometimes you might need that because it's a really good self-soothing exercise that helps you center in your own world. And when you use it this way, when you exhale into the wind whistle, what happens is you empty out. And then when you empty out, there's spaciousness inside for you to have a deeper breath in. And remember, wind is the force of nature that's been on this planet for 4 billion years. It's at every single creation story because it is part of the creation. And so when you breathe out, you're breathing your new creation into form. And this is part of what's going on. So what we want to do is we want to keep this vessel of ours as clear as possible. So in the wind breath, which Bridget, who's sitting here in the center, I don't know if you can see her. She is one of the assistants. She's the one who does the integrations on Monday. And she's a way softer landing than me. I always tell everyone, like, I'm like, this is how it is, straightforward. She's like really sweet and loving. We complement each other really well. The other assistants are Terry, Morgan, Heather Lee Huff, who's not here tonight, but they will be in the private Facebook group, and also Carrie Wanamaker. But Carrie is in the nursing, so she's been really busy with what's going on in the world. So we're going to hold space for her that she can be here when she can. I'm just thinking that because Bridget will also be practicing the wind breath with you. So we're going to start by taking these three wind breaths in. And this is what we do. Is in the first wind breath in, we actually align to the earth, that magnetic core of the earth, which has been holding our spirits and keeping us knowing where we are, and it helps us align our spiritual footprint. We all have a unique spiritual footprint, and by aligning it to the magnetic field, you can really know what's right and what's in your highest and good in your own life. So on that first one, we really align through our spin axis, which I'm going to describe a little bit later in this, into the center of the earth. And then we blow that out. And then in the second wind breath, let's call to a wind for this particular clan, this particular group. And these are the wind spirits that are all outlined in the book. But we're going to call in a wind for this group, for this class, for this time and space. That's kind of crazy. And let's see what we get. Take that one. Oh, this is really crazy, but I pulled this wind the other day and this is how this works. But we have Bayu, and it's the Vedic wind of strength, and it's about trusting in our power. And there's a really interesting story about Bayu that you can read in the book, but I will just tell you a quick story about Bayu so you understand the energy you're merging with. And this is the Vedic wind, so it's a really, really old wind. And Bayu, there was a story about who's stronger, the serpent or the wind. And a lot of you understand serpent energy. So you'd kind of say, well, who is stronger, the serpent or the wind? Well, so the serpent wraps itself around the mountain, Mount Meru, and Bayu starts to blow, blowing really, really hard. And as the harder the wind blows, the tighter the snake is wrapping itself around the mountain. And so it keeps continuing to blow, and all of a sudden it blows the mountaintop right off the mountain and creates a new island. And it's kind of really appropriate for these times, like, are you holding on really, really tight to that vision of the 2020 you thought you were going to have? And the winds outside are certainly blowing a little harder than any vision board that I created. And so there's this battle. And so the story ends up, should I tell you or should I make you go to the book? Why don't you see in your vision tonight? And I'll tell you a little later about how it ends up, but you can look in the book as well. But let's see what you get when we merge with the wind. So on the second breath, we merge with the wind. So the first breath, we merge with the earth. The second breath, we merge with the wind. And then on the third breath, we actually put an energy protection bubble around our wind clan here, around this work that we're going to do. So it becomes this sacred vessel of time that we're going to have together makes you know that when you go and share something on the Facebook group or with me or with Bridget on Monday or any of the other assistants or each other, that it's sacred. And what does that mean? It means that a lot of times we have these great experiences and we just want to right out of our mouths, right? And what happens is we lose the power in them. So Vayu is a reminder to hold that power, you know, hold that strength. I mean, I've had clients call me from the last 10 years. Any healers in here? Have all the clients called you in the last week from throughout your healing career, probably? And, you know, some you could have predicted were going to call. But people are losing their power, you know, and this is really the time to gather in that power because we prepared for this time. We're here. We are ready for this, and it's going to be fun. I'm like in it for the ride. So let's call to we're going to do our wind breath. So remember, so we're going to bring it in. We're going to hold that first breath probably to set the count of seven. Exhale it. We're connected on that exhale. We're going to send the energy down through our pelvic into the earth. The second one, we're going to merge with Vayu and see if there's some message for you in this work. And then that third one, we're going to create a bubble around this group. I'm going to stand. You can sit or stand or however it works for you. So bring that first one breath in. And then center yourself into the earth. Remain empty. And let's breathe the energy of Vayu in. And as you're doing this, ask Vayu, what do I need to know to hold my power in this work? And then breathe out and merge with Vayu. Stay empty. Now we're going to breathe in that wind that's been traveling around this planet for 4 billion years. And we're going to bring it around us as an energy bubble around this wind clan here, our group, so that we're safe and protected as we take this work deeply into this next month that we're going to spend together. kind of already did the outline, but we're going to learn some vocabulary words, and then we're going to actually do a purification process at the end, and we're going to get our first bearings with Vayu in this for this next week. I made these so fancy that they're going backwards. Sorry. I need to remember to fix that. So in this process, look at in the center of this compass, and that's kind of what we're talking about anchoring points. And imagine that you're at the center of these four angles. And the cardinal winds have been informing us about our relationship to this, our experience, our cosmology, how we organize our consensual reality since the tablets, and before the tablets, there's places on the cave walls that have these markings of these four directions and these winds. There's been wind signals throughout, and over time, there's been through like the Vedics to the Incas to we've kind of come up with some really good ideas of these meanings for these each directions. And what I did when I first started doing this work was I actually spent several months going through as many traditions as I could find and putting them all on the living room floor. Sami's here, sorry. I did an overlay. So what does the Chinese say about the East? What are the other traditions? So, I mean, I piled them all up until I kind of came with my own decision about what these were each meaning. So they may be a little different than traditions you've studied, and that's okay, because we all have our things. But for the two similar ones were the East is pretty much in all of the traditions that I found was the beginning. The sun rises in the East, the sun sets in the West. So the East and the West have always been about light and darkness. The East in the Vedic tradition is where all your mind memories and beliefs are stored. There it's new beginnings. So in this place, this is where what the East means in this wind work basics. The South is when I use the Greek winds. So the East is Eurus and the South is notice. And notice is about our emotional needs and desires. And this is where there was some discrepancy with some traditions, what the North meant as opposed to the South meant. But what's become more important recently in this work for me is that our emotional needs and desires seems to always be in opposition to our spiritual community and support. And this is somewhere where we get in a lot of trouble in our lives is there's a constant opposition. And in a lot of mythology, they talk about that, about how the South wind was always competing with the North wind when, you know, the world was frosted over and everyone was dying, there was famine, you know, then the South wind had to be the brave one, the emotional brave one, to go to the North and to get the North wind to concede a little bit in order to have spring come back for the people. And meanwhile, on the East and West plane, they're kind of more like, if you think of the equinox, they're kind of more complementary. You know, there's a light in the dark, but there's not that competing oppositional forces that always seems to be with the North and the South. So the West is about harvest, physical endings, and death. Now, again, the East and the West, they certainly have a lot longer consensus in what those mean. But this is what I'm discovering through the work of the wind. And so the North is about spirit community and support. You get on your spiritual path, and do you have community buy-in? Now, if you don't have community buy-in, there may be something that's off with your emotional needs and desire or your mind or your harvest that you'll start having to get in order, because the way this system works is that everything's in cooperation and harmony with each other, even in its resistance. And so in this work, later on, the exercise we're going to do, we're going to find out, you know, what's our current coordinate now? Now, you could be in the east in 1 minute and slammed right down into the south in the next minute where you're thinking, okay, I'm going to cook this great meal for dinner. So you're going into your mind, you're going into how it tasted before. And then all of a sudden you walk into, or you try to walk into Trader Joe's and they say, you know, there's a 20-minute wait. We're only letting 10 minutes people in at a time. And you have to kind of look to see, like, well, if you go right back into your emotions and, you know, what's in it for me, then you could lose that good vision of that nice dinner. So that you can move from an east thought to an emotional I'm not getting for self really quickly. Once you have these tools, you can go right back to the center of your spin axis, which we're still going to talk about a little bit more, and say, oh, that's just me being selfish. You know, there's probably some seniors in there who need the food a little bit more than I do. And you can get back to your community and supportive, harmonious self. And then when you get in there, you'll pick out a new dinner because there might not be something. But to know where you are on a day, in a moment, even what I mentioned earlier, like if you were at the end of the career, so you might have just been at the harvesting, the end of a really great career, and then you move into this spiritual place, which could be a reset that takes a while longer. So some cycles go right quickly, like minute to minute, and another cycle, like the end of an epoch that lasted 12 or 13,000 years, is going to take a little bit longer. And so in this ending of this epoch, I believe that the last couple of years we've been in the West, now we're moving into, you know, where are we spiritually? Where are we spiritually fit enough to go into this new time, or it's actually timeless frame, with the right heart? And so right now we have to clear out some of this east, some of this. So we're going to be moving through these cycles over and over again as we learn how to get this correct. So if anyone has questions along the way, please put them in the chat and, you know, we'll get to them later. So how I've even organized this webinar or this series is that in week one, we're in the mind, memory, and belief stuff. We're talking about the concepts of wind work. We're talking about what are the definitions. We're going to do an experiential a full moon wind wash. I don't know if it's a full moon yet, but must have been. But we're going to do a purification ceremony, and then we've invited in Vayu to help us pray. So we're going to use the faculty of our mind to answer our assessment questions. Where are we in our lives now? So these are all mental faculties on this first week. Then over the course of the weeks, we're going to go into week two, we're going to go into our emotional needs and desires. So we're actually going to move around this these directions like we were talking about, and we're going to do some prayer and altar work, because that's in the domain of our feelings and our needs and our desires. And we're going to start taking daily wind walks. Then in week three, we're going to get into the West. We're going to get into the physical body and endings. We're going to look at resistance in our body, where it lives in our body. And the experiential process is going to be about taking action. So you're going to actually get to experience each of these directional things as how you're going to work with them in your life. Then we're going to get into week four. We're going to talk about living a wind-inspired life. We're going to really work with our wind whistles. We're going to name our wind whistles if you have it. We're going to identify the current coordinate that we're going to be working with, and we're going to discover a wind ally that we're going to work with for the year, if you want to, you know, if you want to work with a wind ally for the year. So we started with the wind breath, and why this is important, because remember, I'm giving you now the intellectual, is because we are nature, and that is everything. So when we breathe out, the wind breath that we're breathing out connects us to everyone around the world. So there's no small thing that there was a fire in the Amazon, which are considered the lungs of this planet, that we, you know, that just happened. And then there's a virus of the lungs. And I remember years ago when Don Manuel Quispe, who was alive, would talk about that the viruses would come on the wind. And at the time, it didn't make sense to me, but now I understand that everything comes on the wind. So it's not like there's, to me, that was, oh yeah, now it makes sense. So that the viruses that are coming on the winds are also the same experience that we're having with fires and pollution and all of this stuff. So we have to adapt, because, I mean, maybe staying home for a month is going to help us some, but we have to become adapted to this new planetary wind breath. But remember, we can clear it because the same wind that's blowing today has been blowing on the planet for 4 billion years. Our universe is a closed system. And one of the things that's happening is that the ozone layer is starting to repair itself, which gives us an indication that if we become more conscious human beings, we can really fix this. And I believe that we can. So the spirit comes in on that first wind breath in, and it leaves you on your last exhale out. And anyone who's done death and dying work and who can see those things can see the spirit leaving on that last wind breath out. That spiritual footprint that I was talking about comes in on the wind and leaves on the wind. So that's what makes this work so very important. And trust me, I don't know why it showed itself to me, because I think like, well, this is common sense. Why didn't we ever see this before? But we didn't. And so here we are now. And I believe that the winds come in, these wind spirits come in at major, major transformational points that teach us how to do this. And I believe that they were here 12,500 years ago at the end of the last ice age, and they re-informed us. And so there's a lot of information here. So a wind walk is another term you'll hear me use, and it's a mindful oracle. So how you take a wind walk, and I hope everyone tries one, at least one before next week, unless if you live in New York City and you're not feeling comfortable, is you go outside your door, you ask the wind a question. So tonight, maybe you'll go after this and you'll ask Bayou a question. You know, what is my power? What is something? How do I know that I'm trusting or not trusting my power? You go outside, you ask the wind a question, and ask the wind, you know, you might want to ask the wind a question that you're looking for an answer to, like, okay, what am I going to eat for dinner? Or, you know, if you don't know already, or something that you might be able to start to judge whether or not it's a good enough answer. Because over time, your wind intuition is going to grow. Like, there's things that aren't even on my radar that I'll get information now on the wind. Like, I'll be walking by my neighbor's house and I say, oh, Harriet arrived. And, you know, Harriet was in Connecticut and I didn't know Harriet was coming. And all of a sudden the wind told me. So the more fine-tuned we get, the wind starts to tell you everything. And what I believe is really happening, and I think that through these, like that the fact that there's 40 people in an online webinar, or, you know, the 200 that I had in the Shift Network, is that we're becoming more telepathic. And the wind has the information. The wind always has the information. And it's our job now to learn how to listen. And one way of doing that is to take wind walks. So you're consciously going out there, you're consciously asking a question, and then you're walking and observing the signs. A wind bath. So a wind bath is a way that you can clear your energy field. And I'm actually going to I made a wind bath for you the other day when I took a, I snuck out up on the mountain and took a walk on a trail that not too many people go on to, and the wind was blowing, and I did a nice wind walk exercise for you where I actually, it was like a couple of minutes long. And when you're doing a wind walk, you there's several ways to do it. You can just go out and clear your energy field, which we did it as kids. However, you can start to expand on that where you can start to turn to each direction of the wind counterclockwise and let things get moved from you, get taken from you, and then the wind will clear you. And then you turn around, once you feel empty, you let it go. And a lot of times things will just go, but it's us pulling them back. So when you go out there, you slowly move to each direction. I started that day in the east. I went to the north. I went to the west. I went to the south. I turned back to the east. I checked, I scanned my body from my toes all the way up to my head to see if there was any more resistance in the body. And sometimes a wind bath isn't going to get it all. That's why we'll do the another exercise later on in this workshop about how to clear resistance, you know, more as a healing practice. But this is just like to shake off. And trust me, I've needed to go out every single night and shake off stuff because I work in addiction treatment. And right now, people don't want to, they need help more than ever. I think alcohol sales is up 66%, and yet nobody wants to go into treatment centers because they're afraid of, you know, being infected. Meanwhile, you know, people are dying. So it's really kind of stressful. So every night I go out and I do a wind walk and I do a wind bath. So it's something you can do as a daily practice to stay centered. So once you feel empty, then you rewind, you know, get yourself back organized. And again, that's the simple version of it. And you can do it. There's a process we have where we go even deeper with it. So an altar. One of the first suggestions for this course is to create an altar. And I've just finished redoing a room and the altar's sitting there empty. I just put the table down. And one of my things this week with you is I like to go along and do this work with you because, as I said, this isn't a one and done. This is how I live. This is my practice. This is a practice that you can add to other practices, or it's a practice you can do solo. But an altar is a place that you put your prayers and your meditation, because power, like Vayu just reminded us, power builds where we continue to go back and place that energy. And one time I was teaching a course many years ago, and it was a gratitude class, and I told people to go and make themselves an altar. And this one woman had no sacred places in her house for herself, so she actually put it in her sock drawer. It doesn't need to be a big fancy thing. You might have several already in your house, but my suggestion is to add an altar for this work. And so right now, and it could be as simple as, you know, a little table spot or, you know, a sock drawer, but somewhere that you're going to make a point of visiting every single day. Now, actually, a sock drawer makes a lot of sense because you already go there every single day. However, if you have something a little bit better, a little bit, you know, room to spread out on. And so what you might want to put on your altar is I have beautiful roses in my yard right now. Not all of you are that lucky, but you could put flowers, or if you have a favorite statue, or if you have your wind whistle or a nice cloth, but it's something that makes spirit know that this is a special place. This is a place that I'm going to come and I'm going to ask and then listen. So this course is about learning to ask and listen and trusting the answers that you get. And, you know, one of the things that we do is we also build an outdoor altar and a wind altar. So people who took the Become a Wind Alchemist class, and if you are more inclined that you really feel set with your indoor altar, but I want an outdoor altar, we actually made prayer flags for the next 10 months. And how we did that was we removed the cardinal cards from our wind spirit cards, which you can download from my website, or I'll actually put a link to them on our homepage, as we pull the wind for each month. So if you want to do it yourself prayer flags, on my website, there's these great ones that you can paint, and it's a really good time right now to make yourself a outdoor wind altar or a rock altar. But right now, however that works for you, create yourself an altar this week. So wind whistling, you got a little experience of it a little earlier. I did not invent calling to the wind. In fact, the way these wind whistles came about was I was in, I'm gonna show you the wind whistle. So I was in the pyramids in Mexico City, and I heard this wind vessel. I heard the sound. It was like, and you know, if you've ever been there, there's lots and lots of vendors and all this. And I'm there like, I need that. So I should have brought it. It's over there. And I'm there like, well, I want one of these, but I didn't want it to have a nicer face than the one that the jaguar with the teeth, and it looked mean. And I thought, well, we could have something a little nicer. And so I met a sound scientist just out of the blue on the web one day. And it turns out he'd been studying the Aztec whistles for his lifetime. And he introduced me to a wind whistle maker, a whistle maker who doesn't speak a word of English. And so we cut a whistle in half and sent it to the whistle maker. And he started making these whistles for me. And for this work, not for me. And as soon as he started to ship them across the border, lo and behold, the sound scientist died. I mean, just out of the blue, up and died. And then he wasn't really the friendliest guy. I mean, I tried to include him in this process, and he was just an old curmudgeon, but maybe he knew he was dying, and his job was to introduce me to the whistle maker. However, the whistle maker and I keep shipping these whistles, and right before the book went to press, they raised a supermarket in Mexico City, and lo and behold, below it was revealed Eckhart's wind temple in Mexico City. So as this work and these wind whistles were released into the world, one of the temples was discovered. And I do think I really believe that this is divine work that was meant to come out at this time. That's why I believe it. So we're talking about wind spirit cards now. You met Vayu already. So wind was carried in bags. If you think of Madame Feng Popo or Fujin, you always see them with their wind bag or the caves. I'm really bummed because I was going to Halle's cave in September and going to the Passion Play in Germany, which has now been canceled. And I don't know why, when I heard about the Passion Play that they perform every 10 years, and this is a curious time, every 10 years since 1854, they've been performing it in this small town in Germany. I was going to go visit Halle's cave, because we all did work with Halle over the winter, and it was powerful, deep work. So maybe I'll be taking people in 2022. So instead of moving the performance back a year, they moved it back 2 years. And I think that has everything to do with, in the time bending class, we all moved our timeline. And I believe that that's happening. And so I don't think there's any surprise that it's since 1854 to 2020 that there's been a 2 year shift in time, and that now this performance is going to be in 2022. And I think that's significant. I think that the timelines are readjusting themselves, and we're going to see that more and more over the next period of time. So this is why this work is so important, to get ourselves anchored so that when the timeline slips more away, that we are anchored into something else. Not exactly sure what it is, but I'm sure we're going to find out together. So in the wind spirit cards, there are 34 cards. There's four cardinal winds. There's 28 regional winds, although I found 150. These were the ones that made it into the first card deck. And I think they're key primary winds because they tracked along the evolution of humanity, in this last evolution of humanity, this last 12,000, 14,000 year version of ourselves. And then there's two that are called the doldrums. And the doldrums are actually, they're at the equator, just south of the equator, on the east and the west. There are two places where the wind doesn't blow. And it was kind of first identified when the sailors were learning to sail. Aristotle actually put on his compass, no wind. And what would happen in the places of the doldrums is that that they'd have to throw livestock and they'd have to throw unessential and non-essential services, speaking of non-essential services, overboard so that they would last. I was thinking before I was getting ready for this class, I'm there like, how can a haircut be a non-essential service? When I was looking at my hair with the wings growing and stuff like that. However, so this is a time of the doldrums right now where our non-essential life activities are kind of being tossed overboard, which if we use this time productively, I think that we're going to come out with a whole set of new ideas and circumstances when we get through this period. Remember, this is the intellectual, this is the East we're talking about. I'm asking you to remember the wind. I'm actually giving you definitions. So another practice we're going to learn here, and you can read about this in Winds of Spirit, is how to make wind knots. So wind knots were something that the wind witches made back in the 1500s, and the lap sailors would go to the wind witches and have them make wind knots for their trips. So they would go to the wind witches, get the sailing knot so that when they were out to sea, that they could tie knots and untie knots as needed in order to get to the power that they need. So we'll learn how to tie wind knots in here so that when you need power and you're a little slow on your reserves, you can untie a wind knot. They go up. I'd wait a couple of weeks to do these until we get to it, because if you don't know how to tie them correctly, you can untie the wrong one. And if you untie number three, in when I was doing my mesa training back with the four winds, we did something where we actually tossed our mesas into the ethers, and metaphorically speaking, although I lost my job 3 weeks later, so it wasn't all that metaphorically. And so when you untie that third wind knot, you can turn everything upside down on its head just as easily as doing other practices. So there's a power in intention and tying wind into a knot that we're going to learn, and we're going to learn how to release these knots as well. So the spin axis. So the spin axis is, I've never been really scientific, and it's starting to I'm starting to understand that this spin axis is the same axis that is in the nucleus of the proton and the atoms, but that since we are nature and we mirror nature, that everything about us is nature, and so that we have the same invisible axis that connects us to the magnetic field of the Earth. And why I believe this is that, I was shown it once in a vision, but that we're a lot of water. And in according to magnetics, that if a lodestone, which is magnetically aligned, will have this north and south pointing, they will, the stone, the magnetic stone will point naturally north and south. Remember I said the East and West, they're kind of more harmonized, but the North and South is probably a little bit more where we need a little bit more of this adjustment. Remember, the North wind and the South wind are always fighting. So they're kind of like at each other. So we need to be aligned at the center of our spirit and our emotions. And how do you know if you're spiritually aligned as well? Your emotions are always the thing that gives you that key insight to how well you're doing spiritually. So this spin axis is at the center of those four cardinal directions that I told you at, but you have to flip it vertically, horizontally, and knowing that you're at the center always of your own awakening compass. And it connects you to the magnetic field. So if you're truly connected to the magnetic field, as the magnetic field starts to shift, which it is doing, it shifted like 18 degrees or 13, some, it doesn't sound like a lot, but it's shifting. And some of the prophecy says that it could shift totally off of its axis. You know, Florida Maya used to say that the Mayan prophecy said that we could go dark in this world for 4 days. Well, there's two important things about that. If we did go dark for 4 days, is that you know where your community is, you know where the center is, and you're like your center fire, and you know where you are at all times. You're in this class, so you're a spiritual, you're awake or you're waking up. So it's really key that you know where you are at all times. And that's what this wind work basic is about, is learning where you are at all times. So there's one vibratory field that connects all things. And see right here, it goes right through the center of you and it connects us. So when we leave on that last spirit breath out, we're still connected to everything. Remember, this is a closed system. So this is why this work is just so important. So I was talking earlier about the doldrums, but look at right here on Aristotle's compass, that right here in the south-southwest and the south-southeast, there's two spots of no wind. And sometimes these no wind periods are the most influential and most exciting periods of your life if you don't get caught up in the fact that the wind, that you're not having like a Vayu or somebody blowing in your life. And it's probably some of the most life-changing work at all. And so, you know, don't get discouraged if you think that you're in a no-win period, because it's part of the necessary gap. I think collectively right now we're in a period of no wind. As a collective humanity, we're in this period of a gap. And we're going to be here for a little while, so we get to really do this waking up work together. And imagine, we've been around, this planet's been around for 4 billion years, so what's a couple hundred years? So magnetic north is the sweet spot. This is when you're aligned. This is when you know that your compass is pointing magnetic north. You know, you hear true north, but you know what? True north isn't going to get you anything if the world, you want to be connected to your magnetic center. You know your magnet, your pointed mag, your compass is going magnetic north when you're passionate about your life, your needs are met, you obtain measurable results, not results, but results you're going for and that you can measure, and you experience a sense of fulfillment through contributing to others. What happens again, that north and the south, when we're not aligned with our north and our south, that we're usually trying to get for ourselves. Like there's one thing of codependency, you're getting because you think you're going to get something back. When you bring cookies to the hospital because they're having a shortage, you want to feed these people because it's out of your good heart. You're not expecting anything back. You're expecting to give. That's giving of service. When you think that you're giving to somebody and you might get something back, whether it's love, good tidings, then we're off center. So you're going to get a copy of these slides too. So you begin with a simple wind prayer at your altar every day, and I'll just go through it. Comes from the Maori, but they like to laugh and they pray. And in Peru, they drink shots of rum while they're praying. And I used to, as an American, I was like, God, why aren't they taking this more seriously? Well, you know what? Prayer isn't a serious thing. I mean, it can be serious, but it can also be ha, 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 laugh and be joyful as you say your prayer. You know, you call upon these winds. And so this kind of gives you a sense of a prayer that you can say at your altar. All right, so now we're going to journey to find our coordinates. Although it's been pretty tense out there, so I'm actually going to play a recording that I made yesterday, because Zoom doesn't like recordings very well. It's just one of these Zoom things. And I'm going to play something that I've created for this. Whoops. And hold on one second. I've got to find it. So give me a second here. I'm going to dial the knobs. This was really nice about when I was having the shift people do it. They were really great at all of this. Let's see, where do I do it? Share. Hold on. Give me one second. Do you have any questions while we're like at this point?
There are a few questions, Renee.
Okay.
First, there's just needing confirmation that an email will be sent out with the information for the integration calls on Mondays.
Yes.
Okay. And then I'm just reading through the chat here really quickly. Someone asked if you could show how to blow the winds through our hands, because they do not have a whistle at this time.
Oh, it's really simple. No big deal.
Okay, I think that's it for the questions right now. Thank you.
Okay, I think, let's see if this plays correctly. I think I had it in playing the computer audio. Tell me if you can hear this. You can't hear it because I don't hear it. Hold on. Oops. I had it. I was like playing with it all before everyone got here, and I had it all set. Give me 2 seconds here. So get yourself comfortable, and if I have to, I can. Now this is the part where it's nice when you have. Share my screen. Nope. Oh, here it is. All right, I found it. So close your eyes here, and then I'm going to share this audio. And what it is we're going to go on a purification journey. So let me just tell you what we're going to do, so you know. I talked about Halle. We're going to go to Halle's cave, and we're going to file in single file, and we're going to go to a chamber that where there's room 6 feet for each of you to spread out, and we're going to do a purification ceremony, which is in the Lakota tradition. It's where they bring in a rock, a red hot rock from the fire. And so since we're looking at all the compass directions today, we're going to bring in one for the east, and we're going to clear any ideas we have about this wind work out from there or anything else. And then we're going to bring in a rock from the south, and we're going to clear any emotional baggage we have at the moment. And then we're going to bring in one from the west and from the north. And I walk you through this journey in there, and you're going to purify with this. But then before you leave, notice what direction you're sitting, where you're sitting. Are you sitting in the east, the south, the north, or the west? And that's going to be the direction you're going to start working with this week. All right. So are you ready? Any questions before we start? Bridget, any questions?
No, we're all okay. Good.
You just told them what time it was and everything for that? Yes, yeah. I'll be sending out a separate email. I didn't want to get people confused.
Yes, no problem.
All right.
wise going around the fire pit that's in the middle. In front of you, you see a cave. If you can, get down on your hands and knees and enter into the cave clockwise going around the fire pit that's in the middle. There's plenty of room spread out. And sit there. Feel the earth. Feel the earth beneath you. And make room for the others as they come in. And now the fire keeper is going to bring in the first stone. The first ancestor. And this red hot rock is put into the center, into the pit. And the water pourer is going to pour the water over there. And as they pour the water, give up anything that you're thinking. Bad memories, beliefs, ideas. Put them into the steam and let them rise out the smoke hole at the top of the cave. Let it go. And now the fire keeper's bringing in another hot rock. A grandfather, an elder, that's glowing red. This one's for your emotional body, your emotions, your needs and desires. And as the water's poured upon this stone, give any emotional baggage that you have to the steam and let it rise. Let it go. And now the fire tender brings in that third grandfather, that third ancestral stone. It's bigger than the other ones. This is all of the physical discomfort, the endings, things that we're losing physically. As the water's poured upon this stone, let go of any material possessions that no longer serve you. Give them to the fire, give them to the steam, and let it go. And now the fire tender is going to bring in that fourth grandfather, that fourth stone. That wisdom stone from spirit. And ask, pray. Pray that spirit gives you a vision of what needs to be released. What is this time period in history? What are you giving up? How will you support community? What stands between you and the community? And as the water pourer pours the water on this stone, let your prayers be taken to source. Let your prayers be going up the smoke hole. Come back out from this on your hands and knees, finishing the circle, crawling clockwise. Come back out from the cave. Come back out to your room. Come out to this experience.
Can you hear me? When you're ready, come back to the group here. And just make down, where were you sitting in the cave? Were you in the east? Were you in the south? Were you in the west? Were you in the north? And just kind of pay attention to that. And that's where you're going to put your focus for this week. That's where we're going to put our energy and think about, like, so if I was sitting in the west, you know, keep a really good eye on my physical self this year. If I was in the north, you know, what's my spirit calling for me to do right now? Am I supposed to be creative and dancing, or, you know, being of service, healing? Or in the east, am I in fear? What am I thinking? What am I believing? In the south, like, am I short? Am I, like, you know, frustrated? What's going on? You know, and work with that energy for this week. Okay. Let's see, there's a chat. So that's all I have on for today. And this was week one. I'm going to stop the recording before I answer questions. And it's open